And at 8:01, we have mostly sunny skies, 59 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be mostly sunny today with a high around 82, winds out of the south-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. A U.S. Senate candidate, Joni Ernst, has condemned Facebook posts her husband made that included calling Hillary Clinton a, quote, hag. The Des Moines Register reports the Republican state senator from Red Oak said that she was appalled by her husband's remarks and says she's talked to him about them. Her husband, Gail Ernst, said Tuesday that he wanted to, quote, apologize for the inappropriate comments he made on Facebook, which he deeply regrets. In April of last year, he posted a photo of Janet Napolitano, then the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary, calling her a traitorous skank. And then in May of last year, Gail Ernst said on Facebook that Clinton was a, quote, lying hag after she commented about the attack on a U.S. diplomatic installation in Benghazi, Libya. Well, officials at the USDA's Farm Service Agency say they've been made aware of a phone scam targeted toward FSA customers. The caller, who identifies themselves as Farm Loan Services Representative out of Washington, D.C., states that the FSA, quote, owes you disaster assistance funds and proceeds to request your checking account information or requests a credit card number alleging that the funds will be credited to these accounts. The USDA says if you receive a similar call, do not, under any circumstances, provide the caller with your personal or financial information. More water than normal flowed into the Missouri River system last month because of the amount of snow melting, but officials say the reservoirs can handle it. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said Tuesday the increased runoff was expected. May's runoff was about 130% of normal. The Corps is predicting the Missouri River system that stretches from Montana down through the Dakotas and into Missouri will see 31.1 million acre-feet of water this year. That's down slightly from last month's prediction, but ahead of the average 25.2 million acre-feet. Jody Farhat with the Corps says the reservoirs along the river are in a good position to handle the increased runoff, and less than 25% of this year's snowpack remains. Elsewhere in the news this morning, the Iowa Transportation Commission on Tuesday approved the five-year road-building program. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
The plan will spend $2.7 billion on the roadways in the fiscal years 2015 to 2019. The plan includes upgrades of Interstate 29 in Sioux City and $900 million for repairing and upgrading bridges. The plan also includes spending on aviation, transit, railroads, trails, and highways in the state. State officials say there remains uncertainty, though, over the amount of federal highway funding. The current federal transportation funding bill expires in September. I'm Dar Danielson.
The Atlantic Board of Education had no problem approving the 2014-2015 district supervisors' contract during their meeting on Monday night, but they were less than enthusiastic about approving administrator contracts and opted to continue discussions on that topic instead of approving the administrator the increase. Superintendent Dr. Mike Amstein recommended the board approve a 4% increase in compensation for district administrators at a cost to the district of $21,980 and a 3.8% increase for the district supervisors, which amounts to $14,182. When it came time for a discussion on those recommendations, school board member Dennis Davis asked Amstein if all the goals set for the 2013-2014 school year were accomplished.
No, we didn't meet all our goals 100%, but certainly based on where we are achievement-wise, I think that certainly our district made progress on those goals. When you take a look at the summary of achievement for reading, math, and science, our district showed increases in achievement or proficiency in every one of those areas.
Board member Rod Hartwig said he thought, quote, our principals deserve the 4% raise. He's not sure that everyone else on the list does. Amstein said the increases fall in line with what other administrators and supervisors in Hawkeye 10 conference schools are making.
Basically, the goals that the building administrators took a look at this year was 85% of their students would be proficient in reading, science, and math, and I believe they made good progress on that. The other was to reduce the special ed achievement deficit by 10%. In the majority of areas, our school district did reduce that special ed deficit by 10%. The work that they did with the bond issue was noted also, and then the last goal was to stay within their budgeted school budgets within this year. And all building administrators, and other than with maintenance because of utility costs, have stayed within their budgets.
Amstein said based on that information, he believes their principals were deserving of that raise, along with the supervisors. After the board approved the district supervisor's increase as a separate motion, they discussed at length but did not act on approving an increase for the administrators because they want to see more progress in attaining the board-established goals for those administrators. Well, the Trevor Frederickson Memorial Fund announced yesterday their sponsorship of the Scary Guy, who will be sharing his message with the Atlantic Cam and Griswold schools in August of 2014. Scary will be working with over 2,400 students, faculty, and community members during his 10-day stay in Cass County. The Cass County Child Abuse Prevention Council has declared 2014-2015 the year of the violence prevention in Cass County schools. Prevention begins with our youth and teaching them the skills they need to eliminate hate. And for further information, you can contact Kristen Templeton at 243-8006. The Harlan Community School District's Board of Education has approved an amendment to the 2014-2014 budget. In a regular board meeting held Monday, the board made the motion after discussing the amendment at length at a previous public meeting held on May 27th. The amendment was with regard to a PEPL funding and the Merrill Field project. In other business, the school board approved milk bids with Anderson Dairy, bread bids with Bebo Bakery, fuel bids with Agriland FS for $170,176, and a new Thomas bus for $84,069. Harlan Primary School Principal Scott Froelich reported to the board the district had submitted an elementary school-wide Title I application to the state for flexibility in using reading resources for all students in the elementary school district. Superintendent Justin Wagner said those dollars will help the students who struggle in reading.
It's a federally funded program from the federal government, and basically what it is a program that helps kids who struggle in reading. Well, our free and reduced lunch rate at the elementary building has typically been hovered right around that 40% rate. Well, now that it's increased over the 40%, we were able to put in an application to really allow us to use our Title I funds and our Title I resources, our staff, and the books that are purchased with Title I dollars now for all students rather than just certain students.
The application was approved by the school board. Mr. Froelich also mentioned the primary building has 55 students taking summer school, 35 in the intermediate, and 16 more in the high school. In discussion items, Wagner spoke about the Blue Zones initiative in the Harlan community. The school district must meet the well-marked Blue Zone criteria in order for Harlan to become a Blue Zone designated community. Wagner spoke for quite some time on the recommendations that Wellmark handed out to the school district. The district is focusing solely on the elementary building first before trying to install the new proposals in the other school buildings. Some of the recommendations, including not using physical activity as punishment, no unhealthy foods to be used for fundraisers, and not using foods at class celebrations. The school district needs to hit 54 points in order to pass for a Blue Zone designation, and Wagner says some of those are controversial.
Things like, out at recess, if a student misbehaves right now, you send them to basically like a timeout. They go kind of stand against the wall, or we do other things. Well, in the Blue Zones initiative, they say, you know, that takes away activity for kids during recess. Makes sense. I understand the physical side of it. On the flip side of it, then, you know, what do we do for students that don't follow directions and are maybe bullying or harassing other students? You know, there has to be some kind of consequence.
Wagner says the school district's in negotiations with Wellmark, and more details will follow at a later school board meeting. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, still in shock at the defeat of House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, his colleagues are offering postmortems and hoping it's not contagious. Cantor lost his Virginia primary bid for an eighth term to a newcomer, Tea Party-backed Professor David Bratt. New York Republican Peter King says he worries that supporters of Tea Party favorites like Senator Ted Cruz will use Cantor's defeat as an excuse to shut down the government. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is expected to get an earful from lawmakers today about the swap of an American Army sergeant for five Taliban detainees who had been held at Guantanamo Bay. Sergeant Bo Bergdahl had been held for 5 years. Some lawmakers say the president should have given them notice of the exchange. It's a commencement address that these high school students will certainly remember. President Barack Obama will speak at a technical high school in Worcester, Massachusetts today. He'll honor the nationally recognized school's comeback. 6 out of 10 students at the Worcester Technical are underprivileged and qualify for free or reduced meals. 2 out of 10 have special needs. You can scratch one of the names from the U.S. list of most wanted terrorists. Philippine security forces have captured a top Filipino commander of the Abu Sayyaf extremist group. Cair Mundus offered no resistance when police arrested him in Manila. He has acknowledged receiving al-Qaeda funds to finance bombings in the country. And a show-and-tell day has a Connecticut mother in legal trouble. Police say her 11-year-old son was arrested after he brought a grenade to school on Friday as part of lessons on World War II. The Stratford Academy was locked down until it was discovered that the grenade was actually an inert simulator used for training. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, James David Red Estes Sr., age 75 of Dexter, died Friday at his home. Military graveside service for Red Estes Sr. will be today at 9:30 at the Iowa Veterans Cemetery in Van Meter. The Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stuart has arrangements. Alan Haskins, age 69 of Audubon, died Sunday at his home. A funeral service for Alan Haskins will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. L. Irene Gaskill, age 85 of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Irene Gaskill will be tomorrow at 11:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Kelly Lynn Doonan, age 71 of Harlan, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center. Funeral services for Kelly Doonan will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Anna Bloom, age 93 of Harlan, died Monday. A massive Christian burial service for Anna Bloom will be on Friday at 11 o'clock at the St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Leo Lane, age 81, who's formerly of Greenfield, died in July of 2013 in McAllen, Texas. Memorial services for Leo Lane will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Eugene Phelps, age 76 of Bayard, died April 19th in Iowa City. Masonic memorial service for Eugene Phelps will be this Saturday at 12:30 at the Bayard United Methodist Church, with funeral services at 2 p.m. also at the church. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has arrangements. Melvin Dittmers, age 86 of Guthrie Center, died June the 4th at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Graveside services for Melvin Dittmers will be held Monday at 10 a.m. at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. And Betty Schaefer, age 88 of Walnut, died Saturday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. No services are planned for Betty Schaefer at this time. Paulie Jones Funeral Home is assisting the family. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.